Today we begin lesson 23 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Chulin. And today we will begin the seventh perek, Perek Gid Hanoshe. The word Gid is often translated into English as sinew, S-I-N-E-W. Chazal did not differentiate between the various nerves, muscles, veins, arteries in the body. They saw all elongated, thread-like, string-like organs in the body as all being of similar nature, and they referred to them generically as a gid or as gidin. The Torah prohibits us from eating the Gid Hanoshe. The Gid Hanoshe refers to a specific sinew or nerve near the place in the body of the animal, in the rear leg of the animal, where the hip connects with the socket of the pelvic bone. In that area, there are a number of muscles, veins, arteries, and nerves. The Gid Hanoshe is referring to the inner nerve, the inner gid of that part of the animal, referred to physiologically as the sciatic nerve. That is the inner gid. Because there's a whole group of such gidin, there's an outer gid too. There's a panimi, an inner one, and an outer one, a chitzon. And we will see different halachos between the two. We are familiar with the story told in Parshas Vayishlach, in Bereshis chapter 32, Bereshis Lamed Beis, where Yaakov wrestles with the angel. And there we are told that because the angel harmed Yaakov on that section of his body near where his hip connected to the socket, the Gid Hanoshe, causing Yaakov to limp. Therefore, the Torah says, "Al kein lo yochlu bnei Yisrael es Gid Hanoshe asher al kaf hayorech ad hayom azeh." That therefore, till this very day, the Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, do not eat the Gid Hanoshe, which is on the kaf, the socket of the yorech, of the hip bone. Again, the Gemara explains that there are two gidim in this region of the animal's anatomy, an inner and an outer, a pnimi and a chitzon. The panimi is near the bone. It is a long gid, and the top of it, the head of it, is connected to the bone of the pelvis. And from there, it spreads and goes down the thigh. There is also, in that area, at least in mammals, or the mammals that we're familiar with, the sheep and goats, etc., the cows, a thick, rounded flesh, which I imagine is muscle, which is in that area, on that bone at that point. That eagle bosor, that rounded piece of flesh, is identified with the Gid Hanoshe. And it's called collectively as the Gid Hanoshe Panimi, the inner one. The Chitzon is outer, the outer one, the outer Gid, is near the flesh, and it is actually absorbed into the flesh of the of that area. The panimi, the inner one, is osur min haTorah. That's the classic Gid Hanoshe, which the Torah prohibits. The chitzon is only prohibited midrabbanan. Our Mishnah and the whole perek that we're about to begin will study the various parameters and halachos and boundaries of the prohibition against the Gid Hanoshe. So the Mishnah begins, Gid Hanoshe Noheg Bo'oretz Uvechutz La'oretz. The prohibition applies whether in Eretz Yisrael or anywhere else in the world outside of Eretz Yisrael. Bifnei Habayis V'shalo Bifnei Habayis. When the temple was standing, and even today when the temple is no longer standing, Bachulin Uvamukdoshin, with animals which are not consecrated, and also with animals which are consecrated, which are pronounced sacred for korbanos. The Gemara explains that for korbanos, whether they are in the category of korbanos, which parts of which are eaten, or whether in the category of korbanos, which are not eaten at all, nevertheless, the prohibition against eating the gid from those animals, the gid hanoshe from those animals, remains in force. The Mishnah continues, V'noeg ba'behema uvachaya. The prohibition applies to behemos, to cows and sheep and goats, and to chayos, to deer and to buffalo. Ba'yorech shel yomin uva'yorech shel semol, to the right hip, thigh, and to the left. Both are prohibited, and we will see more about that later in the Mishnah. Ve'enu noeg ba'of, it does not apply to fowl, to chicken and ducks and rooster and turkeys. Mipnei she'en lo kaf, that the kaf, meaning that eagle, that rounded piece of flesh which protrudes from that area, from the hip and socket area, does not exist in the case of fowl, in the case of ophos. And therefore, there's no prohibition. Interestingly, the Rambam writes that if we were to find a fowl, a kosher fowl, which did have this anatomical component, it would be asur. V'noeg bashlil, the isur of Gid Hanoshe applies to the shlil. The shlil is the fetus found within an animal, a mother, which has been shechted. The Gemara explains that we are referring here to a shlil, to a fetus, which is a viable, living, fully developed 9-month calf, which according to Rav Meir, as we learned back in Perek Dalet Mishneh Hei, requires shchita. It's considered an animal in and of itself. The shchita of its mother, in the case of a ben tisho chai, does not render that animal meat, just part of the mother. So therefore, if we follow Rav Meir, whom we were introduced with again back in Perek Dalet Mishneh Hei, the Gid Hanoshe of this animal cannot be considered nitar, becoming permissible through the shechita of its mother. It's a behema bifnei atzma. It's an animal on its own accord, and therefore its Gid is osur. This is the opinion of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, which we know is that the Tanakhama of this Mishnah in this case is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Noheg Bashlil, that the Gid Hanoshe is not prohibited if it is found in a fetus which is found in the body of the mother after the mother has been shechted, even if the fetus is a ben tisho chai, is a living animal fully developed and goes off on its own wandering around the pasture. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the entire ubor, even the gid, becomes mutar with the shechita of the mother. Furthermore, v'chelbo mutar, even the chelev of the ben tisho chai, is permissible according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's an interesting situation. Often this is a question asked to try to puzzle people. How is it possible to ever taste the chelev, the prohibited fatty parts of a cow, from a cow? And this is the answer. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if the mother is shechted and inside we find a fetus, even if that fetus is a ben tisho chai, you can eat not only its gid, but its chelev. Rabbi Meir, of course, who holds the gid is osur, also would hold that in the case of a ben tisha chai, the chaylev is also. However, if it's not a ben tisha chai, if the fetus is found not fully developed in 9 months, or the fetus is found dead inside the body of the mother after the mother has been shechted, Rab Meir would also agree that its gid and its chelev are mutar, because whatever is inside the body of the mother becomes mutar b'shchitas imo. The Mishnah continues, V'ein ha-tabochin ne'emonim al gid ha-noshe. Extracting the gid hanoshe from the body of the animal is a difficult process. And therefore, if you ask a taboch, according to Rab Meir, did you remove the gid? We cannot believe him. We must see for ourselves that the gid has been removed. The chachomim omrim ne'amonim olov. The chachomim disagree, and they say, no, if a taboch, a butcher, a kosher Jew says to you, I've removed the taboch, I've removed the gid hanoshe, even though the gid hanoshe is so difficult to remove, you believe him. Not only that, but the Mishnah continues, v'yala chelev. If he tells you that he's removed all the chelev, he's done the process of nikur, of trebunin, it's called in Yiddish, of removing the fatty parts of the animal which are otherwise prohibited, you can believe him. He's believed. At eight echod ne'mon bi'isurin. A kosher Jew is believed in such matters, even in spite of the fact that great difficulty and great skill is necessary to extract the gid and to remove the chelev. Continuing into Mishnah Beis, Sholeach Odom Yorech Lenochri. It is permissible to send a section, the thigh section of an animal to a goy, of a shechted animal to a goy, as a gift. Shegid hanoshe b'socho, even if the gid hanoshe is still in it. There's no problem, according to this opinion, of deriving hano, deriving benefit from the gid hanoshe. So whatever benefit you get from giving this goy the present is absolutely permissible. There's a possibility, of course, that the goy might sell it to a Jew, and there are conditions under which it is permissible for a Jew to buy meat from a goy. Namely, if you're living in a small village where all the shechita is done by Jews, it's a Jewish shechita. So there, if a goy possesses a piece of meat, you're allowed to buy it from him. And what, shouldn't we be concerned? Maybe the goy will sell this gift that he received from you with the gid hanoshe inside of it to a Jew. No problem. Mipnei shemekomo nikor, says the Mishnah. Because when you look at a piece of meat and a whole thigh bone, a thigh section of an animal, you can tell whether the gid hanoshe has been removed or not. And therefore, if a Jew sees it intact, he can buy it, and there's no problem with his buying it, because he knows there's a gid hanoshe inside of it, and he will remove the gid hanoshe. For this reason, it is permissible to give a yorech to a nochri, even when Jews are present, and because there is no, we're not choshesh, we're not concerned, maybe the Jew will eat from it before he removes the gid, because the Jew can see there's a gid there and he shouldn't be eating it. However, if you send to a goy sliced pieces of meat from the thigh section of the animal, that's a different story. Then you cannot give it as a gift to a goy in a situation where he may possibly then give it, the goy may then possibly give it to a Jew, because a Jew might not realize that cut up inside of it someplace is a gid or a piece of a gid. The Mishnah continues. By the way, there is a machlokes in Maseches Psochim in Daf Chof Beis, whether or not the gid hanoshe is prohibited by hano'ah. Our Mishnah obviously follows that opinion, which holds that the gid hanoshe is mutar b'hano'ah, is permissible to derive benefit, or else you wouldn't be allowed to give it as a gift from a goy, because presumably when you give a gift to anyone, you're getting some type of favor back. You're doing it in some way for your own benefit. The Mishnah continues, Hanotel gid hanoshe tzorich sheyitoles kulo. when a person removes a git hanosha, he must do what's called chitut. He must scrape out everything around the git hanosha. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda omer kedei lekayim bo mitzvas netila. You don't have to do chitut. You don't have to scrape around and around. You simply cut out the section which is the git hanosha and a little bit more, and you've done the mitzvah of netila, of removing a little bit from the area, and that's sufficient. The halacha is like the Tanakama. You have to remove the entire area and scrape it well. And so we have completed the second Mishnah of the seventh Perek, and in the process have concluded lesson number 23.